As we are assembled here this morning, I trust that each of us have found in each act of worship to be far more than just a ritual as we as Christians perform each Lord's Day. This morning, we look for a time in our worship, in prayer. And while being led in prayer, we find that individuals must pray. When we speak of prayer, we speak of the language with which we address God. Jehovah. Now we know that there's individual prayer, but we're talking about prayer during the worship service. Do you pray at worship service? Do you, as an individual, pray at worship, at the worship service? Did you pray as the prayers were given this morning? Have you thought about this? As we list the acts of worship each Lord's Day, do we think about prayer? Remember, acceptable prayer requires more than the bowing of the head or the shutting of your eyes. When the assembly is led in prayer, when our brother led us in prayer this morning, remember that that prayer is not on behalf of us. He was leading us, each individual, in prayer. Now you say, that doesn't happen. I've heard it prayed from that microphone right there. We need to understand, as we begin this lesson, and it won't be long, that this is a prayer that is led, where we are led in prayer as a congregation of God's people. And yet God expects each one of us to pray. There were many questions that were raised during the early days of the church, and many problems were raised and so forth. A lot of them in Corinth, at that congregation there. And we find that many of them were discussed by the Apostle Paul in the form of letters. One of the problems was spiritual gifts. Speaking in a foreign language that you had never learned, but be able to speak. And that's quite a study within itself. One of the more popular gifts was speaking in tongues or these foreign languages. And it seems by just reading in Corinthians that the ones with this gift, for better expression, they kind of like to use it. And they were warned on several occasions by Paul and others that the gift was not to be used without interpretation. In other words, if people couldn't understand what you were saying, couldn't comprehend it, don't use it. Because implied in all of this, that when the assembly comes together, when we come together on this Lord's Day, there is a concern for edification. I need to be builded up by being in attendance. I don't care how long you've been a member. Some of us have been longer than others. We still need to look forward to coming. We need to look and being grateful for being here. And we need to feel a certain way. In Corinthians, the 14th chapter, verses 13 through 17, can be studied for much benefit. And you can study it on your own or some other time. But this concerns spiritual gifts, the speaking in foreign language, in singing and praying. In verse 16 of chapter 14, I'm going to read it, and from it we're going to draw our lesson. Otherwise, said Paul, if you give thanks, otherwise, said Paul, if you give thanks with your spirit, how can anyone in the position of an outsider say amen to your thanksgiving when he does not know what you are saying? In other words, you have this power, special gift, to pray. And you don't know what you're praying. You're praying from your mind. And you pray. How is anyone going to know what you're praying, what you're saying, without there being somebody there to have the power of interpretation, to tell? And this was a question that was asked because what needed to take place? Edification. How could people know? How could people be edified if they don't know what you're saying? Well, these verses suggest that there are four requirements if one is to pray in a worship service. every worship service. Number one, the worshiper must listen to the prayer. Now, the man leading the prayer must be heard. And sometimes it's his fault if he is not heard. And may I suggest to you, those of you that lead prayers, at the end of the service, ask a buddy or your wife or somebody not on the front row but toward the back, could you hear the prayer? Can you hear me when I offer a prayer? It's a good check and find out, because it must be heard in order to accomplish what God wants accomplished. That's just a suggestion. How can we, sitting in the audience, legitimately say amen to a prayer that we can't hear? Often we find the worshiper standing, head bowed, eyes closed, but that's not a sign that he is listening to what is being said. Now, I'm not going to come around and check if there's a way. I saw on television yesterday where in one city, police came in and checked to see if they were wearing masks. There are some people that might try to check this. But keep in mind that who you are talking to, who you are trying to please, is the God of heaven, and he knows what's going on. He knows if you are listening to what is being said. The person just might not be paying attention. You got a lot of things to do. You got to come to church on Sunday. You come to the building. You sing. You like the singing, you like the songs. The preacher didn't preach too long. You got things out of the way. You take the Lord's Supper. It's automatic. Is it a ritual? Or is it worship? And I hate to admit it, but one thing that is a problem probably with all of us in this modern age is a wandering mind. In a long prayer, and that's another subject within itself, of the prayers you pray when you're leading in prayer, the responsibility there of praying for the congregation and leading the congregation in prayer. We must keep in mind the seriousness. What is prayer? It's the language that we use to talk to God of heaven. Number two, the worshiper must understand the prayer. The worshiper must hear in the context of what is being said. The worshiper must biblically comprehend the meaning of the words or the phrases used in the prayer. We must be careful in leading prayers. We must be careful in what we hear, that we must understand what is being said, what is being prayed, what the prayer says, what God is hearing. Are we praying? Number three, the worshiper must agree with the prayer. Is error being prayed? Hopefully not. But you've heard error be prayed sometime in your lifetime. You can't pray it as a child of God. I can't pray it. Each person should be, each prayer should be, and here's where I may get in trouble. Each prayer should be a prayer and not a sermon. We need to be careful in leading our prayers. The worshiper must agree with the prayer. He will listen to the sermon. He doesn't need one in a prayer. He doesn't need all of the details that the gospel gives. I can't help but say this. Back when I was, I know it was before the ninth grade, it was in the old Merle and Nashville building, C.R. Nickel. Some of you may have heard of him. Some of you may have heard him. He said that in every prayer that you pray, you do not have to begin with Adam. Sometimes we've got to keep in mind that prayer is not a review of the sermon. You hear a second dose, same words. You've been there. Each prayer should be appropriate. To the prayer. For instance, there's a purpose in prayer. There's an opening prayer. Brother Tim gave a prayer this morning, led us in prayer. Then what we normally call the opening prayer was given. But there is a special appropriate purpose in certain prayers. At the Lord's table, the prayer for the bread is the prayer for the bread. And we've got to pray that prayer and follow it. The prayer for the fruit of the vine is the prayer for the fruit of the vine. And we must follow it. Some people will talk about this aspect, which is appropriate, but not at the bread or not at the fruit of the vine. It's purpose in prayer. We've got to keep in mind what we're doing, what is being said. I've heard prayers for the bread, and they talk about the death of Christ and all about it, every detail, try to make you feel the pain and all of this, that, and the other, and never mention the bread. Can you, as a child of God, pray that prayer? When Jesus tells us to give thanks for the bread, which represents his body, as we commemorate his death, you see where we're going. Prayer is important. Prayer, we must agree with the prayer. Prayer should not be so complicated that an explanation of the details has to be given to God. I would question me saying amen, that if it's that complicated and that complex, where is the edification, the building up, the togetherness that we talk about being there? Number four. The worshiper must say amen. Now, amen means, so let it be. Some of us that are older can remember those days where some preacher would be getting up and he would really be getting with it and preaching the gospel and really preaching. And some brother would say, amen. And that would, something to go through you and build up in edification. It's rare to hear a vocal amen anymore. It's not necessary. What about a silent amen? Do you give a silent amen? Did it meet all of the requirements? Do you agree with what has been said from this microphone? What is indicated when you say amen? The worshiper has made the prayer his own. The worshiper has heard the prayer. He's listening. He's paid attention. He understands what was said. And by saying amen, he addresses or adds his approval. You know, when we lead prayer, we ought to realize what we're doing. We don't have prayer just because there is a special reason. Somebody's real sick. Some family is grieving over the loss, especially like a car wreck or something along this line. And we're especially moved. Prayer is part of worship to God. Prayer on the individual, that's another subject. Prayer in worship. Do you worship in prayer? In the assembly, gathered together, do you worship in prayer? Do you believe in power of prayer? Prayer is very, very real, important. It's one of the great privileges that we have in Christ Jesus. One. But it's there. How many times do we think about prayer? I've heard people say in the church, we need to have old Bill up there to pray, because if we get him involved, he might be more interested in 10 more regularly. You heard it. You think God's pleased with it? I could go on, but I guess I better stop before we get to. But do you see where we're going this morning? Prayer. Assembly and prayer. Prayer and worship. It's more than having the same prayer. We need to think about prayer. We need to take part in prayer. We need to understand, as a Christian, I need to understand, listen to, pay attention to, and say amen. Have you ever thought about, as you listen to a prayer, somebody makes a statement that is true, very, very meaningful? Have you thought about silently saying amen? Have you thought about it? Pay attention to what's said and amen. You know, so-and-so is really growing. I can tell by the prayers he prays. It's not the same one. Prayer, we need to study. You say, well, hey, now, wait a minute. I don't suppose there's ever been anybody, I'm not talking about individuals, I'm talking about a group of people, that prayed any more than the Jewish followers of Jesus. Called it disciples. And in the 11th chapter, I believe it is, of Luke, they go to Jesus and they say, these are people that were praying people. Lord, teach us how to pray. Lord, teach us how to pray. Prayer is important. It's one of the greatest privileges we have as individuals, but the strength that we can gather here through prayer. Being a member of the body of Christ, taking advantage of what he had offered through his death. We offer that opportunity through baptism to become a member of the body of Christ. We hope that we can say that we take part and that we pray and worship. If you're in any way subject to the gospel invitation, won't you come as we stand and sing?